questions, but two issues I'd like to address. One is the topic of the talk, the title of the talk was supposed to provide an alternative solution, although you had to change the topic because there are facts, I don't know if there is any non-Muslim here, you redirected the talk, but I would have loved to hear some of the solutions you were going to suggest to the problems, being a Muslim, so I can transfer it. The other question is, don't you think that part of the reason of us not going into Dawah is the lack of knowledge in ourselves about Islam? That we need to work on that at first hand?
Sister, let me first address myself to your second question. I really do not think that this is necessarily the lack of knowledge about Islam, which is an impediment about our giving dawah to the, giving the message of Islam. In fact, there are many very well read, there are many knowledgeable Muslims around, you see, these days, and they have been for quite some time. They have been for quite some. There are ulama in the Muslim world. They are coming down to us for ages, you see. But have they really done any dawah? Has there been any literature, good literature on dawah as such? You see, for the past 6-7 centuries as such. You see, there are Muslims in India who are doing the dawah and who are really doing the dawah as a kind of a conscious effort. But this again is a really very late development in the minority. You see, you do not find this kind of a thing, say, for in Chinese Muslims for such a long time, or the Somalian Muslims or the Ethiopian Muslims for a very long time, you see. Wherever we have gone as minorities, somehow it seems that we became very happy with our status as minorities. Although there have been ulama, religious people, very learned people among them. You see, in Ceylon, I saw there are some very, very learned people who have graduated from Al-Azhar and Medina and Makkah and so on and so forth, you see. But they still tend to limit themselves only to the Muslim fold and never want to go beyond it. So as far as the knowledge is concerned, I think there is a lot of knowledge. There is a lot of knowledge about Islam among Muslims, but they do not, as I said, it seems that there has been a kind of a what we call in Arabic, nahaj. And nahaj was developed. A way has been developed, you see, whereby we preoccupy ourselves only with ourselves and not with the non-Muslims as such. Now, about your first question, I did allude to some of those situations, you see, as to how Islam could be a solution to the problem as such. First of all, it is a very genuine question in the minds of many Americans today. Many students, many writers actually have asked this question. They say that we know that there are problems in capitalism, that there are problems in democracy. But what is the guarantee that socialism is the solution? You see, that is for them to give up capitalism or for them to give up democracy. Really, there is no way out. There is no way out because they do not believe in socialism as such. You see, they do not believe that socialism would really give them such a good solution to their problems as such. Now we can then actually start counting the problems one by one. There are a great deal of problems which stem directly from very highly economic and political competition, for instance. A great deal of anxiety. We have quite a few names for them in our sociological jargon, you see, like narcissism and anomy and so on and so forth, you see. Now, an ideal Islamic society whereby you engage in the material pursuits but only to some extent, not to the extent of cutthroat competition as such, automatically provides a solution for these problems. And so I really think that in as much as Islam does not allow a cutthroat blind competition as such, it also does an automatic solution to these psychiatric and psychological problems as such. We also have the problems of economy, for instance. We have the negation of interest. We have the poor due, the zakah. that transfers money from the upper reaches of the society toward the lower reaches of the society, a circulation, a semi-circulation, semi-circular movement of the capital as such. Likewise, we also have the inheritance of the property in such a manner that it actually is distributed and not accumulated in fewer and fewer hands as such. Likewise, you may talk about the Islamic form of government, which is based upon shura, but more than and beyond that, actually, it depends upon not the democratic slogan, that is, government of the people, for the people, by the people, as such. Rather, this is a kind of a government which is established for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by His blessings, as such. So that when you are engaging in a democratic process under the Islamic spirit or with the Islamic character as such, you are not really going for your own sake. Rather, you are going for the sake of doing service to the society, and you knowing very well that you actually are going to be asked about it. That is, you actually are engaging in a form of ibadah. It is like fasting, or it is like saying the salah. So that if you are not doing it properly, then you know it very well, that you are going to be caught fulfilling your duty. So, I mean, I can go on and on like this for a long time, but I'm only pointing out these things very briefly to you.
I'd like to go just a little bit more specific on the two questions, if I'm taking somebody's I'm not questioning that they are not learned Muslim scholars, but they are not enough learned Muslim scholars to transfer the knowledge in a way that the non-Muslims, particularly, specifically, let's talk about America or the US or this particular situation of ethical society, will be able to understand, internalize, and learn. That's what I'm talking about. So it's also not only a matter of methodology, changing our methodology. It's changing our approach to what Islam is really for us first. For instance, if we bring them the great example of the Islamic State and Shura, say, fine, where is that happening in any part of the Muslim world? How is that can be applied? They want to see something working. They don't want to see something in ideas or in books. And that's the thing that's lacking in our knowledge.
I respect your argument very much, but my practical experience is that this is only in theory, this is not in practice, really. We actually have refrained from dawah by convincing ourselves by this argument, you see.
I can reverse your coordination when you say dawah system has stopped when we are colonized became colony in Spain or something. And that's exactly true. It's not because dawah stopped, we became colony. It's the other way around, because we changed the system. We were not anymore practicing Islam, and the meaning of the state of Islam, Ashura, became empire or whatever. Then dawah stopped because we were not carrying on the same message in practice.
Yeah, let me go back to your argument. Because there is no practical manifestation of Islam today, therefore our argument becomes theoretical. This is what you are trying to say, right? Because there is no practical Islamic state today, therefore when we go and talk to the people, then they ask, where is Islamic state? Right? Where is Islamic society? What I'm trying to say, sister, is that there are many other people around here, you see, who have spoken to the people about different forms of life without those forms of life ever existing. You see, when Sun Myung-moon came to this country and started talking about a completely different kind of society, you see, that society actually did not exist here. That society was actually created by the very people whose imagination actually was inflamed by the message, I said. So is the case with this Ramakrishna group, you see. Where was this Ramakrishna cult anywhere living in the world? You see, not even in India. You see, and he came and he created that cult among the people by a few people who accepted it. You see, and then they became the propagators of the cult as such. You see, then what I'm trying to say is that it is important that there should be an Islamic State as a practical manifestation. When communism and socialism started in Europe, there was no communist state. There was no socialist state at that time, you see. When Karl Marx was writing, when Karl Marx was actually getting adherents all over Germany and France and England, there was no socialist state existing, you see. But now today we know there are so many socialist states, you see. So, yes, if you do not have a state as such, people will ask you about it, you see. But there would be some other people also. You see, people accept the message in many different ways, in many different manners. People have different personalities, they have different hang-ups, they have different attitudes, they have different ways of looking at things. I mean, mankind is just not one concrete thing, you see. You give the message, some people will not accept, some people will question, some people will throw rocks at you, but some people will also become curious. So this is what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that all those 100 people that I may address will come and say labbaik or say yes to me. No. Actually, I may even be in very great difficulties with some of them. But some of them will also may get up and start defending me.
The way I understood, I was in the last part, is why you cannot say the whole thing, what was going on. But basically, the way I understood is that what Muslims want to suggest to America is a kind of patchwork solution. Well, you will not have amnesia because if you become Muslim, if you will not have the kind of nervous breakdown if you become Muslim.
No.
There are two questions. What actually means, I don't know whether Sister Nemeth meant the same thing. What basically we want to tell them? That's the first thing.
We want to tell them further there is a different ideology here. Socialism and capitalism are not the only two ideologies. Here is a different ideology,
okay,
which is a middle path. Yes.
That part I understood.
Yeah.
But when we tell that, they'll say, well, to hell with you. You have that ideology, keep it. You have 43 countries, why you are not...
This is exactly what I'm saying. You are talking about theory, I'm talking about practice.
No. I'm talking
what
about
I'm practice. Saying, there is a dispersion of response.
Uh-huh.
There is just not one unified response among people. There are different kinds of responses. This means one of the response which you are saying. This is only one of the responses is also very positive. One of the response may be very neutral. One of the response may actually be very antagonizing. One of the response may actually be just simple nothing, you see, no curiosity at all. But you may also be getting 5%, 2%, 1%, 1% out of 50 who may be interested.
Well, he becomes interested. He says, well, I want to become Muslim.
No, he won't say right away.
Here is my problem. How you are solving it?
Yes. No, he won't say this is my problem. No.
It means in any situation when any person becomes fascinated by your dawah, by your theoretical talk, and he comes to you and he says, well, fine, I accept your ideological basis. Now, here is my problem. Well, let's see what solution you have.
Well, this is not they generally do. They do not come and tell us, well, I'm going to divorce my wife or my wife is going to divorce me. What Islam has to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is not the way he will come. Or he does not come to you with a problem of his child, you see.
I'm
just telling you my practical observation. For the last 11 months, we have been doing this and we have not experienced this kind of a response. This is what I'm saying. That we may, in theory, may think of different kinds of responses. But I'm only expressing you the responses which we have received from nearly about 6,000 audiences that we have addressed during the last 11 months. You see, this is what I'm saying. People do not come to me, for instance, and tell me, look, my son is becoming a juvenile delinquent. How can Islam save him? No, this is not the way. The only thing which we do and which we aim at is increase his curiosity. Increases curiosity, and then let him read, then let him hang around with Muslims, and then let him understand Islam. That's it, you see. And then it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the light. This is all what we are doing. Just giving the message to him so that the message is able to create a kind of a motivation in him to understand. That's it. Yeah, brother.
Excuse me, still, yeah, go, brother.
Well, my question was still not completed. I think that in Ithaca, for example, during the last couple of years, and especially during the last couple of months, we have practical situations where people came. Not only me, this brother Pani is sitting here, everybody has almost seen those people. Even just now when I was delayed only because there was somebody who went to Morocco, they want to, they have changed their name. The name is Abdullah and the Habiba. They are white Americans, they don't want to look even like Muslims, and they don't behave like Muslims. Well, we think of it. On the way we were talking about this. They want practical solutions. These are the people who are in the world. No, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the broader problems, the socio-economic problems, the problems of belief. Why my believing in one God is different than my believing in Jesus? Why my believing in hereafter is going to change my life or my and those things, I feel that practically we have neither solved the what's called the general problems and not the local problems. Even this brother probably, I have told Brother Irfan, that even the person wanted his divorced wife back, I will try to help him. Certainly they are going to come, some people will come even just to ask for money. Some people will come to ask about, to help, to ask your help about the children.
Yeah.
It is going to happen. A person came to me, just he wants this.
I understand, I understand.
He should marry an Indonesian girl.
Yes, yes. You see, Brother Umar Abdul, what you are talking about are the people who have already entered the fold of Islam and want help from you as a Muslim. You see, like this man has a problem with his wife and he is coming to us as a Muslim community in Ithaca. How we can solve this problem? No, but that is a completely different issue I'm talking about. That is a community living. When Muslims...
I'm not talking about that. Then, he has yet not become a Muslim.
Well, if he has not yet become a Muslim, you see, then he should become a Muslim and then see. Yes.
No, but yeah, one point I'd like to add here. Like, I'm a Muslim, okay, and I've seen the Islamization of the Muslim countries and I've seen the whole process by which it went. But still, it didn't provide a solution. If you go, I mean, as a Muslim, I'm not convinced with their approaches.
Whose approach?
Muslim scholars' approaches for developing a Muslim country. When I look one approach, I'm not convinced with that. I look.
Brother, Muslim ulamas, Muslim scholars have hardly been given any chance anywhere, except for Iran today, I guess. They have ever been given any kind of a chance or opportunity to create an Islamic state. You see. These are actually the politicians. These are the Hafez Assad. These are the...
The question was of Islamic banking.
Another brother. Yeah. I just want to make a comment here that I think these sort of speeches and dawah will help at least in removing some of the misconceptions.
Yeah.
And this is what we are talking about just now. We are not talking about converting Americans into Islam.
Why not?
Talking, first step is to remove the misconceptions. When there are so many misconceptions about Islam that you just first have to explain what Islam is. Then you will open the way for them to learn and then come if they get interested for more.
Go ahead, brother.
You mentioned something about some like a primitive way of worship compared like the genuflection, etc. I was thinking, are there moves, for example, in modernizing the Islamic way of worship? For example, back home I had problem with praying 5 times a day, you know, like getting off work at 2 o'clock to pray. You have a boss that does not realize such a thing is necessary. So I'm thinking of the American society, for example, where somebody becomes a Muslim, he's thinking of praying 5 times a day and he's in one of these big corporate organizations, or say doing the ablution, you know, having to take off all of this winter clothing and so on. Are there moves to sort of modernize Islam, or is it necessary to modernize it, or do we have to stay dogmatically with the old patterns of worship?
Brother, in Islam there has been nothing like old and new. Islam is universal, you see. It is universal in time and space. All Muslims, as they have been and as they are, wherever they are, you see, actually follow the same form of worship, the same form of ablution. A few a few variations here and there, you see, but there are no fundamental variations in them. You see, if the fundamental variation comes in, then you actually are not fulfilling the duty as such, you see. Now, talking about evolution, talking about the vudu as such, there is a way of doing the vudu. There is a way of cleaning yourself. You clean yourself, you are clean, and so you do the salah. If you are not clean, you do not do the salah. Just as simple as that, you see. There is no question of modernization or hallucinization or urbanization or industrialization or any kind of ization in it, you see. It is universal. If you are living in a city, you can do the vadu. You are living in a village, you can do the vadu. You are in an industry, you can say the salah. You are on your farm, you can do the salah. You can fast here, you can fast there. You can live a family life here, you can live a family life there, you see. I mean, as much as all of these actually are societal aspects, and we are supposed to not go to the temple or to a synagogue or to a church, you see. Rather, we are supposed to go to the masjid, or to do the salah in a certain way, to do the ibadah in a certain way, to buy and sell things in a certain way, refrain from eating and drinking certain things, cleaning yourself in a certain manner. These are also societal aspects, you see. It really does not make any difference which place you are or which kind of a climate you are or anything. They say that it is so cold, they say that it is so cold in Russia that the Russians did not become Muslims because they were told that drinking is prohibited in Islam. Now somebody was, now we know it very well, that there are certain areas in Central Asia which are even much, much, much colder than Russia is, and they became Muslims, didn't they? Like Siberia is much colder than Russia is. So this argument that climate is this, or society is this, or work is this, is not really a very good argument. You see, in as much as we accept the universality, it is universally applicable, you see.
Okay, now formally this thing is over now, and we'll start with the
half of seven. And then the discussion
will continue on.
Will continue.
We'll continue on. It's just that
you'll have to give me a cup of coffee first.